What is up, everybody? Welcome to episode 11 of Late Night Gamers Podcast. With me this week, as always, is Tim Madden.
It's a trap!
Steve Morgan.
Hello!
And Charles Caldwell.
I'm bald!
Charles, you don't have any hair. Your hair has been cut by several inches.
Mm-hmm. Look at it, it's beautiful.
Well, okay, so that to all you listeners that can't see Charles showing us his bald head, that's what was just happening.
It's not bald, but it's close.
Take a screenshot and I'll make it the icon for this week's podcast. Scary thought.
Oh, God. Anyways, this is episode 11, Late Night Gamers Podcast, where we make all of your gaming habits seem acceptable. And we're going to get right into some news this week, and some news out of Blizzard. I think Tim's going to take this.
Yeah, this weekend, so by the time you guys listen to this podcast, BlizzCon will have already happened. But I think in one of our previous episodes, I had made a trademark filing for what could potentially be a WoW expansion, which it ended up being their new Dota clone, or I guess their new Blizzard All Stars. I forget what the name of it was, something of the Storm.
Heroes of the Storm, right?
Heroes of the Storm, yeah. So that was, at one point we had thought that was going to be a new WoW expansion, but it turns out that trademark filing they made is called Warlords of Draenor, which I don't think there's any speculation. I think it has to be the new expansion for WoW. So there's actually been a lot of speculation on what's going to be in the expansion. And there's a source
off world.
Yeah, well, there's a source who has made, who's like done, who's made speculation before, and he's been right most of the time. And for this expansion, he's saying that it's going to raise the cap to 100. There's going to be a new race, or potentially multiple races, a new class, and also new character models. So they're going to redo like orcs, humans, all the old character models to be more in line with like the Pandaren and Worgen, and I guess the two that aren't getting updated are Worgen and Goblin.
Sweet. Do we have any idea when that might come out? Or I mean, obviously, I think only the name has been registered or whatever in a couple countries. But
yeah, well, the last major patch for Pandaria just came out, so it'll probably be relatively soon. I'm guessing they're going to announce it at BlizzCon, and I don't know what their release schedule is for expansions, but probably couple months.
Nice. Something to look forward to. You gonna resub, or you already resubbed?
I'm still subscribing.
I'll probably get in resub, just cause.
In other news, we've got a little bit of, we got a couple hardware items that are being released. I don't know when the actual release date of these are, but soon. The Vita TV and the Wii Mini. The Vita TV being like a little, it's like the size of a USB drive that attaches to your TV, and you can use it for, it basically has like a media hub thing, media app hub or whatever. And it also has a cartridge, like a cartridge thing for Vita games, so you can play them on TV. And then you can use a PS3 controller, which is kind of weird. But it'll also use, it'll also be able to, like if you hook it up to another TV in your house and you have a PS4 somewhere in your house, it'll be able to stream the PS4 to that TV.
Damn. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
It's only $100 too, which, I mean, if you have an upstairs TV and there's people watching stuff downstairs, then that would make a huge difference.
could if they were watching something on the PS3 downstairs and you plugged in the Vita TV, would you be able to do simultaneous actions on your PlayStation?
On the PlayStation 3 or the PlayStation 4?
Well, the 4, I guess, yeah.
I don't know, because I don't know what the, I know you can do, like, I think there's, like, you know, multiple things you can do at once compared to the PS3, but I don't know if it would actually let you play two games or do two actions completely at once.
Do it!
Simultaneously.
I doubt you can do two games, but I think it's mainly for, like, people who have the... If you have, like, a PlayStation in your living room and then someone wants to watch a TV or something, you can go play a game in your bedroom or whatever without having to disconnect everything.
Yeah.
It's kind of like it's kind of similar to how the Wii U is, except it's being streamed to, like, a smaller screen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Does the Wii U do something similar right now? Because I have no idea what the Wii U does.
It's a big wonky square controller that has a screen in the middle of it, and you can't actually touch everything on it. It's like
as if you took a Vita and a PS3 and then just like Nintendo-ized it.
made it a square. Made it too big for all children's hands.
Well, it sounds like that's a better value than the Wii Mini, is from what I understand.
No, but like the thing too is with the Wii U controller, you can play the games on the screen on that.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. It streams from the actual console to that screen, so people can watch television and then the kids can play the video games.
Hmm.
So, continuing on the Nintendo front, the Wii Mini, like we mentioned a minute ago. Apparently is just going to be a smaller Wii console with no internet capability. So, lame.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how you make it smaller. Like, what is it, a DVD case or something? Like, it's already...
yeah,
it's like the PlayStation 1 when they released that. It's just going to be like a large CD case.
It's
spaceship.
I mean,
how much is the Wii now?
I mean, yeah, it can't be that much.
It's like, isn't it like $129 or something? $149? I don't know.
I guess if it comes with a game, then maybe it's worth it, right?
But
it comes with Mario Kart, right?
I mean, that's good, but like, it has no internet capability whatsoever, so you can't download any previously updates. Made games, or I don't know that Nintendo does updates for anything.
Yeah, I mean, I never used the... I used, like, the internet on my Wii for a while, but to be honest, like, I haven't needed it in a very, very long time, so I don't think it's a big deal. I mean, it's probably a really good idea, like, business-wise, because if you think about it, like, the Wii at this point is really going to be targeting, like, older people, younger people, people that just want to play it for the gimmick of, like, Mario Kart or whatever, and so... I mean, it's pretty cheap, you know, you can reach an audience that doesn't have a lot of money, and you can still play some of those games, and...
And, I mean, I'm pretty sure they're probably making $95 off of that, so...
Yeah, it's...
I mean, the console's, what, like, 8-9 years old now, and it's been behind, well...
Since the beginning.
Since the beginning, yeah.
It's like a Droid X with, you know, the software of Mario Kart on it.
Droid.
I mean, like, I guess the Wii Mini doesn't appeal to me at all because the virtual not that I have a Wii or have ever owned a Wii, but the virtual console is like the thing that is the most appealing to me because it's you know, you can download all the NES games, you can download Super Nintendo games, N64 games, like all those things, and you can't do that if it has no internet capability, and that's kind of a downfall.
That's true, but I think that they did, like, not to, like, go on, like, rant about Wii and stuff or Nintendo, but I think that, like, they kind of did Virtual Console wrong in that, like, they didn't really have a lot of options. Like, there were certain titles that you couldn't even get, like, ones that, like clearly you'd want, you know, like, classics, especially, like, N64 and stuff, and then the prices were just really ridiculous, like, you know, $5 for an NES game, it's like...
Yeah, that's cool.
I mean, it's cool if you really wanted a game and you buy it, but then, like, after you buy one or two, like, you're not gonna get, like, 150 NES games.
Right.
They could have easily packaged them for, like, $100 or something, and people would easily... I'd buy, like, all of them for that money, you know, like, you know, $60 or something for, you know, I don't know, like, 100 games.
20 games.
Yeah, exactly, whatever. Just, I mean, it's nothing for them at this point. Like, no one's gonna buy an NES game now.
Yeah.
So, unless they're trying to make some money on the side of, like, the antiques or, like, nostalgia or something. I mean, maybe they are, I don't know, but I doubt it, so who knows, I don't know. So, anyways, I mean, I don't think I don't think that's even that big of a loss still, because I don't think it really worked out the way it should have. So.
Yeah, that's true. Well, moving into something a little bit more current gen, other than the Wii, is where Steve has been playing Call of Duty since it came out.
And Tim.
Oh, that's right. Tim is playing too.
Barely.
But what do you guys think? Call of Duty Ghosts, that is, just to clarify.
Yeah, so Call of Duty Ghosts. So I think the big thing to preface all ranting with is the fact that this game has rolled out with some major issues. Not necessarily all issues that weren't like stated in, say, like the game requirements, but there's just been some issues, and the main ones are the game requirements right now. A lot of people are really upset about the fact that it requires 6 gigabytes of RAM for PC and requires a DirectX 11 card, which most people don't even realize, because your computer can have DirectX 11, but your card doesn't support it, and have a 64-bit OS. And so some of those things are like fixable, some of them are. I mean, if you can't run 64-bit, if you don't have a 64-bit processor, if you don't have any RAM, like, I mean, people can't just like fix it. It's not like somewhere you need to download a driver or change like a setting or reinstall Windows. Some people that is the case, but so there's a lot of people really angry right now, and it's getting a lot of really bad scores because people can't play and people are asking for refunds. Although, in the defense of the game, it stated it in the requirements, so it's not like the game's not working. It's just not working because no one paid attention to what you needed, which is ridiculous requirements.
There's just millions of dumb people.
Yeah, I mean, so But at the same time, there's already been they've made all these requirements, right? And there's already been people that have the unofficial third party groups that have like made patched files which let you run the game with low requirements, and it runs exactly the same. So yeah. People are pretty pissed off because it's clearly just like a push from Infinity Ward to try to either like make the game look good and make sure that no one's playing it on low settings and playing it bad, or just they just don't give a shit, basically, and just rolled it out the way it was. They wanted it. I don't know.
They got lobbied by the manufacturers of game components, and they're like, yeah, we gotta push the uptake on this. We gotta make things better.
Before you put your tinfoil hats on, I think it's just a matter of them... I think it's a matter of them, like, really... having a really unoptimized game that they wanted to push out the door, to hit the holiday market, and they just, it's like I've been playing it, and I've played like games that are 10 times more, like graphically intense at the same resolution and had no problems. But this game just like it stutters, it's slow. It like the default settings when you first run it are set so low. It's set like at the very floor of settings, and then you have to slowly turn it up, but it's just like, it's really bad. It's really like not optimized, and I think that they just, rather than go through the hassle because code optimization is one of the hardest things to do. So instead of going through all the trouble and money of doing that, they just up the specs, and I think that's where they really went wrong.
And absolutely, and I think also the next-gen consoles coming out is a huge impact on that. Like, they just wanted them to push for those consoles, so they pushed those specs, and they pushed that, and they pretty much just stomped out the gaming, the PC gaming community. And you can see it in the game, too, even the competitive community. Like, they have some gimmicky things like clan wars and stuff, but the problem is, nobody's playing the game, so... because they can't play the game, and so there's certain game modes where the playlists are so low, there's 50,000 people playing in the whole world at one point. You're just like, this is terrible, this is bad. The game just came out.
Yeah.
So, there's plenty of other issues with the game. The fact that they reused a cutscene from Modern Warfare 2 and.
Really? Oh, yeah. God damn it.
Well, so there's a cutscene from Modern Warfare 2, which is like, it's not exact. Okay, if I'm not gonna say it's not exactly, I'm gonna say like the textures are different. But like the model movements and everything are exactly the same, and the order of what happens is like identical. So they clearly just went through and like stole code from their old game. And my biggest thing is I think I'd be completely fine with it, but they have a bad history of not like ever updating their stuff. And. Yeah. that makes me really, like, kind of upset, because they don't get it right at the beginning, they got your money, and they're just pretty much cool with that.
Right.
What's interesting to me is I'm looking at the Steam game list on how many peak players there were today. The peak for Call of Duty Ghosts, which is number 10 in the list, was 36,000.
Wow.
513,000 were playing Dota 2 today. Team Fortress 2 was second place with 54,000. So even Team Fortress 2, which came out long ago...
Oh my god.
Has more players than Call of Duty Ghosts multiplayer.
I think the heart of it, though, is that there's a lot of the people who would want to be playing this are...
Console
probably
games.
Have it pre-ordered for a console.
Yeah.
For one of the new-gen consoles, so they're waiting for that. You know, so I think that's probably the heart of it. And I think also, I think that kind of contributes to the PC woes, because I think that, you know, Activision was probably like, oh, well, you know, 95% of people are going to be playing this on a new console. Let's, you know, we can kind of cut our development time for PC.
Yeah.
Well, I think Call of Duty there's like all these things online, like all these news articles that says Call of Duty Ghosts has already generated $1 billion like day one sales. So,
yeah, I don't know how much I actually believe that, because didn't GTA 5 do that?
Did they have AAA titles now that are like top in the charts?
Yeah, I don't know.
So if there's 36,000 people playing on PC right now, either there's like 400,000 people that like are like 100,000 people that aren't playing on PC that bought it, or they're all console purchases, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like such a miraculously low number. That's like really telling. 36,000 people, that's nothing.
Yeah, that's...
When 6 million people were online today playing games, 34,000 of them were playing a AAA title that came out that was like than they've been advertising for.
It's like less than 1% of the total population of Steam.
And I'm pretty sure it was number one on pre-orders for a while, too.
Yeah, it was on Steam.
Huh. So, but just nobody's playing it. They're listening to their friends and like, oh, okay.
They're all on the forums right now, bitching about how long money back.
I'm curious what, like, how many people are playing Battlefield 4 right now.
Yeah, I'd like to hear someone who's played it. I haven't talked to anyone who has it.
No, I haven't either. I have it pre-ordered for PlayStation 4, so I'm waiting for that. But
yeah, from what I've seen, it has, just as many bugs and issues.
Yeah.
I was watching a video of a guy. Apparently, there's a bug where if you use the silencer and shoot once, it mutes all sound for everyone on the entire server. So he was just trolling it. He'd troll, go on a server, shoot once with the pistol with the silencer on, and no one would have sound for the rest of the game.
It's either silenced or the gun is so loud that no one can hear anymore.
Yeah, right.
Anyways.
Sweet. Well,
ESRB.
Yes. Well, going off the topic of M-rated games with the recent launch of GTA 5 and Call of Duty, Battlefield, all these other shooters and
ultraviolence
killers,
ultraviolence,
blood, gore. That brings us to a topic we're going to talk about this week is ESRB ratings and kind of its effect on the industry and on the on kids, on parents, on retailers. I mean, it started back in 1994 when it was kind of a response to Mortal Kombat and Doom and I guess Lethal Enforcers. I'm not fully aware of that game, but there was gore and stuff in other games, but in the 16-bit era, it's stuff like blood coming out looked a lot more liquid. So they decided that was the point when they needed to to start having some sort of rating system to tell parents that, hey, your kid is watching something and it's going to grow up to be a murderer.
Your child is tearing the head off another digital caricature.
Yeah.
He's ripping his head off! Oh my god!
I actually remember this. I remember. It was like... I remember being in the car and being like, there's a huge contract. I was like 7 or whatever, 8, and it was a huge controversy about Mortal Kombat because they were like, there's so much blood, so much gore, like I think that was like the very beginning of politicians getting involved with with gaming.
It's always that. It's always Mortal Kombat and GTA is the ones they always show. It's like when the senators go on the House floor and they're talking about it, it's always like they bring up Mortal Kombat 3, the new 3D version, where they just choose the most gratuitous. It's just ridiculous how the deaths that they design in Mortal Kombat anyway, but it's the more gratuitous nonsense deaths. Like you reach into their stomach and you tear out their spine, and then you like kiss their face, and then you smash it on the ground, and then it's just like okay,
finish him.
And as far as GTA, it's running around and shooting prostitutes is what they always talk about.
Yeah,
I think that shows a trend in gaming, at least here in America, is there's definitely a trend more towards like violence than there is like sexual stuff.
Yeah,
that's definitely true.
Totally, because I mean, and people always quote like, oh, but before this kid went out and killed all these people, you know, he was playing GTA or something, and it's like it was loaded on his computer, and he may not have played it for, you know, 10 years, but it was there. So that's what they're going on. And I remember back in the, do you remember the Washington, was it Washington DC, the sniper?
Yeah.
They were like, oh, it's rumored that he was using silent scope in an arcade to practice. Yeah, and
practice,
I was
God.
Like, yeah, okay, give me a break. This, that gun is ridiculous. First of all, it's like a screen inside of a little thing, and yeah, it was nonsense.
That would make you the worst sniper ever if you trained on that.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm going to be so good. I'm going to do so well. Oh, my God.
Don't take anything into account. Wind, anything, distance. Yeah, right. Like, that silent scope was just like, okay. Yeah, if you have it in the center of the crosshairs, that's where it's going to hit.
I think the ESRB ratings came around the same time as they added the television ratings on TV. And I remember one of the first like ratings I saw on TV was they were showing the movie Schindler's List, and it was rated M. And any game I've ever played has not had the horror and dread of Schindler's List unedited on television from beginning to end. It's just like, good Lord. And that is just like, what? Games are so trivial. Why do you give them so much weight in people's lives? That's nonsense.
Yeah, I think that, like, if you look at the ESRB, it was kind of formed out of a public outlash, you know, politicians and whatever, they, you know, this demand for some oversight on gaming. But it's not a government agency. It's a you know, being from within the gaming, like,
it's kind of like that movie Picture Association of America.
Right. So it's governed by people within the gaming industry. So I think
right.
I think there's also some internal politics within the ESRB in terms of, there's a lot of times there's games that they have to bring back, they have to, you know, recall to change something in order to make it you know, a certain rating so that kids can buy it, because it's all about sales in the end. So I think there's a lot of cases where internally within the ESRB they do things to try to like change the rating on things just to increase sales.
But is any game nowadays not rated M? Like,
there's a lot of rated, like, T rated games. T
Anything
for T.
On Nintendo.
Like, I feel like all the games I guess some of the games I play, but even, I mean, those rating systems don't apply to Steam as far as I can tell. Do they have those ratings on here?
I think they have them.
They must. They must be somewhere. I mean,
down in the friggin' corner.
I feel like even some teen rated games get away with quite a bit, you know, because there can be like violence and blood and like some drug use or something in teen rated games, and once it, I don't know what actually changes it over to a mature rated game, if it's like it's just something they decide it's like over the top and it's much worse than. You know,
yeah, it's a little ridiculous. Like, crack someone's skull, that's fine, but as long as no blood comes out.
Right. Yeah, you can smash someone over the head with a baseball bat as long as their brain isn't smushed out and there's like bits everywhere.
Yeah. I remember the first movie I saw, well, the first mature movie I saw is I saw Terminator right at the moment where he kills those guys by disemboweling them with his machine hand. And that was before I played any games.
Well, see,
so
yeah.
If that didn't turn me into a killer, I don't know what will.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is like there are so many movies out there that are, it's such a double standard, because just because, you know, people think that games are for kids, they're like, oh, well, it's the game's fault. But there's movies out there that are much worse, that are showing people, they're like real life, they're real actors, they're like in these, you know, in these films that are awful. Horror movies included, any ultra-violent movies. You watch, what the hell's that movie? Battle Royale? That's like, I mean, that's like so over the top. It's like, it's like the Hunger Games on like crack, and everyone actually dies a horrible, horrible death.
As they should.
It's like school children fighting each other and just getting destroyed in all these different ways.
And then their teacher is just a drunken maniac who's just lost all faith in humanity.
Yep.
It sounds about right for Japan.
So yeah, I mean, I don't know, and I think that ratings, I don't know how they actually really affect anything, honestly, because retailers, in a lot of cases, don't stop people from buying M-rated games. Parents will buy games for the kids without even paying attention to the rating, and I mean, that's poor parenting.
Retailers are required not to. I know at least when I worked briefly at Walmart, and we weren't supposed to sell M-rated games to anyone under 17.
Right. Yeah, they ask you for ID, right?
Yeah.
That's just stupid. I mean, come on.
I don't know. I mean, it's just the same reason why you can't just, like, show nudity and, like, full, like, vulgarity on TV. There's some sort of censorship in some things, right? Right. Like, I mean, you could just have an 8-year-old kid go in and get that game and... I don't know. Maybe it didn't affect you. Maybe it affects one kid.
Well, the issue with the comparison with between TV is the TV, any person could turn that on, but to actually go and buy the game, you have to go into the store, buy the game, you choose the game, you make the decision on whether or not you can see it. But if, like, it's just, but if you're like turned into something and all of a sudden there's gratuitous violence or nudity, and then you're like, what the fuck? I didn't ask to see this.
Like, yeah. Whoops! I accidentally turned on Cinemax at 2 a.m.
Yeah. But if you go into a store and you're like, I want to buy Manhunt, and you're 17 and you go in to buy Manhunt, you know, or Manhunt 2, it's like, I played Manhunt 1, I'm gonna go buy Manhunt 2, and the store's like, oh, sorry, I can't sell you that. It's like, are you kidding me? Like, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember when I was younger. Right. This is sort of off topic because this is movies, but I remember when I was younger. That my mom gave permission to the video store when I was like 13 to rent R-rated movies. Because she was like, whatever.
Yeah.
You will buy, what was the name of that? Carnivorous Humanoid Underground Dwellers.
Chug.
I think we also had much different, like growing up, like, than other people. If you think, I don't know. There's just some people that, like, don't want their kids to watch stuff like that when they're young. And so they want to at least, like, have barriers at some level. And the only way to have barriers is to have some sort of classification system.
I guess that's true.
Yeah.
And then they won't be able to handle the video games because they'll be like, whoa, I should really try this out.
Well, I mean, it's a good way for, like, a parent or even just somebody in general. It doesn't necessarily have to be for kids. Like, they know kind of the style of game. Like, they can look at a game and go, like, oh, this game is, like, G, and then they're just, like, they just throw it at their kid. They don't even have to, like, look at what the game's about.
Right, exactly.
They flip it over and go, like, oh, this is G, whatever, and then they look, flip it over and they go, like, oh, this is teen, like, maybe I want to, like, look and see why it's teen, and, like, is it something, like, that's a big deal, or is it just, like, you know, because he has, like, a laser gun and he shoots somebody, like, whatever it is. You know what I mean? Like, some people probably don't care about something, but at least it gives them, like, a guide on the degree of ridiculousness or the degree of violence or whatever is in the game.
Yeah, I think from a parent's perspective, it's all about, is my kid going to have nightmares when they play this, because I don't have to deal with that, you know?
Yeah, parents are lazy.
That's the only reason.
Parents are lazy, really, in most cases.
That's the basic.
I don't care if they have nightmares, just as long as I don't have to deal with it. Don't get in my bed, dummy.
Well, I guess I'll just the highest or the worst rating that anything can get is AO, and it's the
adult oriented,
adults only. And the AO rating isn't allowed or hasn't been allowed by Microsoft or Sony or obviously not Nintendo it hasn't been allowed. Any of those games have not been allowed on consoles, but PC is a different story. And I'm just going to read off a couple of AO rated games because I looked them up and I was like, oh my god, this is too good not to share. So basically, they're just all porn. And so the
I think you should just say these are all games that we don't want to explain. You should just Google these on your own time.
Yeah, we're not going to explain them. This is not a porn cast. The first one is All Nude Glamour. The second one, which I'm sure actually this one did happen on consoles at one point, but yeah. I think it was dumbed down compared to what it's originally supposed to be. Leisure Suit Larry Magna Cum Laude. The third one is Seduce Me. The next one is, I mean, the, just let your imagination run wild on this one. It's called Wet the Sexy Empire.
Oh god.
Awful. Google them at your own risk, but
Also, I found this one, this retro one that I was talking about earlier. It's called Beat 'em and Eat 'em.
Oh god.
It was on the Atari 2600. Just, I'm not even going to explain it.
That sounds awful.
It's great. And Custer's Revenge was also.
Yeah.
Custer's Revenge.
Look these things up. They're terrible. They're actually awful. We do not endorse these games by any
this
means.
This is an example, Charles, of these are examples of games that you should never have played when you were a child. Because you would have had so many questions.
Why does that block man have a block penis?
Many questions, so much rage.
I think it's telling though that like all the vast majority of the adults only games are all games that have some sort of nudity aspect.
Nudity, yeah,
completely.
But and I think it's, you know, it's like, all right, so there's like this zone, you know, between your clothes and the inside that can't happen. It's okay if your guts spill out and you explode into a bloody mess. As long as you don't take your clothes off. You know, make sure you explode with your clothes on.
Yep. As long as there's still a bikini available while that torso is cut in half, then it's totally fine.
Yeah.
Indistinguishable body parts.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it could be a penis on the ground. I don't know.
So much gore.
Instantly AO. Instantly AO.
That'd be great. They just had it like lying on a table in the game, and there's nothing else. But that's the only thing that makes it rated AO.
The AO version of Call of Duty. You have a murder boner all the time. You look down and it's just like a tent.
you don't have a knife in those situations. Yeah, it's more just like a poke you in the face.
Death to all infidels.
So wrong.
Anyways, I think we've spent clearly enough time on that. We're going to go on to a listener question this week from @thatchoffy, which has
Chaffy.
I've talked to him quite a bit, and he's on Twitter, and he's written into us before, and he's coming up with some good questions. So I'm looking for someone to beat him out, because he's been the only one who's had good questions. slash the only one who's given us questions, period.
This someone right now asked the question, it was like holding their face in their hands, like, it wasn't good enough.
No, it wasn't. Get on it. You suck.
Do better. So, at that Chaffee asks, how do you feel about fanboys, and do you ever feel some fanboyness arise in yourselves?
I think if anyone says no, they're lying.
Yeah, oh yeah, totally. Because, I mean, I think the root of all fanboyness is just a loyalty that you have to something, whether it be a game or a console.
If it ain't broke, don't freaking try to fix it. I'll kill ya.
Exactly. So yeah, I mean, like, I think there is some merit to. I think it's, you know, loyalty and fanboy is they kind of go hand in hand, but fanboys are kind of like an accentuated, exaggerated version of someone who has a loyalty.
Fanboys are hated when it gets in the way of a company like creating a new product that will make them more money.
Yeah, I was gonna say I think the definition of fanboy is someone who chooses something this, you know, purely out of loyalty, you know, totally ignoring logic.
Yeah. Oh, completely. Yeah.
And it's the opposite of unbiased.
Oh my god. I mean, they're...
Though I gotta say, sometimes... I mean, even though everyone has a fanboy part of you, sometimes you're just like, why the hell do you even care? Why can't we just change it? God, leave it alone. Let it go.
Well, and that's... I mean, fanboys are part of the reason why I don't go to, like, big websites like IGN or any of the other video game websites and post comments or anything on there, because 90% of the comments on there are fanboy comments and then trolls, and they're all
fanboy,
like,
trolls.
Yeah, exactly. And they're just like, oh, PS, oh, PS whore, oh, I'm a X boner, like, like, I don't care. Just like, I honestly, like, I want to go and talk to people about how excited I am just about the new console generation. It doesn't matter which console it is. I happen to be getting a PlayStation just because I have, you know, trophies, and I want to continue those trophies onto the PlayStation 4, but I'm equally excited for the Xbox One and what they're coming out with, because I think that they're both amazing. And
yeah. New games, always a good thing.
Yeah, new games, like updated graphics, new, like, components to, I don't know, activities on the system. It's just like, I don't know, it's just exciting. I don't know why people can't just, like, talk about the good stuff and what they're excited about, for especially this console generation. Like, we haven't had a new console in 8 years.
Yeah.
Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like it's a self-reinforcing thing. Like, you know, you at least with consoles, you're expected to invest in it, you know. So you buy, you know, let's say the previous generation, you buy your Xbox or you buy, yeah, you know, your PlayStation. You're gonna be investing in that console for five, six, 7 years. So, you know, once you get it, you kind of have to mentally say to yourself, "All right, screw the Xbox. The PS3 is better, or screw the PS3, Xbox is better." It's all about, you know, you have to do that mentally in order to justify a purchase, unless you're, yep, like, you know, the person who has both, and then you're like, right, oh, whatever.
Yeah, and I think there are actually four, like, categories of fanboy, because you get the Xbox people who are like, you know, oh, our, you know, Xbox Live has been much better than the PSN, and that's completely true, and, you know, the Xbox has, they like their exclusives better than the PlayStation's exclusives, and the same goes for the PlayStation 3 people. And PlayStation 3 is like, well, we have, you know, PlayStation Plus, which is an awesome program where you get free games every month, and so that's a good thing. There's like, it's a good thing for each system. And then you have the people that are like, I have all of the consoles, so I'm better than all of you. So I don't have to argue because I'm above you. And then there's the fourth one, and those are the Nintendo people who have just convinced themselves that they don't need good graphics for a game console.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like a Nintendo fanboy. I have like my Wii, and I've like thought about getting Wii U, even though I know it sucks. So
I thought about it, but then I was like, no, I really want to do that to myself, because I am a Nintendo fanboy too. But it's like, you're right. It's like, why would I? Why would I?
I mean, the only reason I buy Nintendos is for like the fanboyness of certain titles. It's right. Like, Zelda. I really want to play Zelda. I really want to play Super Mario Bros. Or something.
Yeah. Smash.
Then
player.
I just, and then like a game comes out like, you know, Wii Sports, and I'm like, well, this sucks. Like, you know, like, I'm just like, I have it because I have to have it, or someone says it's good, and it's not. Yeah, so it,
I don't think I've played a Mario title since Mario 64, to be honest.
Dude, the Mario on Wii was legit, man.
Yeah, that was good.
But, I mean, that's one game for a whole system, so, I mean.
Yeah.
That's the only reason why I don't have a Wii U. But I'm definitely a fanboy for them. I mean, I get excited for that kind of stuff, and I overlook certain things. I think with PC, like, fanboyness is like more in like developers comes down to you, just, you know, you like a, like, you know, Blizzard, pretty much Blizzard could like release like a game that's like, you know, you just pick up shit all day, and I'd probably like pre-order it right now, so
it would be the most glisteny, like, bug-free shit ever.
I mean, like, there's a certain developers that like I will like mindlessly buy into, literally and figuratively. So
yeah, Blizzard could drop everyone on their ass multiple times and still go back. They've built such a following.
Nick, do you feel like there's developers for PlayStation that you will buy into immediately, like, if they come out with a new title, even on PlayStation?
I think for the consoles, it's a big difference, because there are, you know, third-party games, and then there's first-party games, and you get, I'm excited about a lot of third-party games, from the big, you know, the big companies, big AAA titles and stuff, but I'm doubly excited for a lot of the, you know, the IP that's coming from, you know, Sony, Santa Monica, Naughty Dog, and some of those other developers that developed specifically for PlayStation consoles. But
I don't necessarily have a fanboyness for any particular developer. It's always about the game series. So for Blizzard, it's like, sure, I like StarCraft. I love the original StarCraft, but for me, I mean, I'm not going to pick up the next Blizzard title unless it's something I actually want. Like, I don't, like, because all the WoW expansions, to me, it's just like, all right, you're getting desperate now. Stop making WoW expansions. Make something new. I want to see something different game. I don't care if it's a new part of an old game. I want to see something new. So I'm like, Blizzard is old and this old, decrepit bureaucracy, and I'm like, I want something new. New!
I think that's like another facet of fanboyness. You can be a fanboy just for, you know, Call of Duty over Battlefield, or vice versa. You know,
right.
Just for,
you can be a hipster.
A hipster gamer. I wonder if we'll see any at the next PAX.
I mean, it's basically what you're saying, though. You're like, oh man, freaking Blizzard's too big now.
That's true.
Like, I was playing Blizzard back when they were playing, like.
Well, the thing too is, like, you know, indies are becoming so big now that it's like you do have some of these where like developers are made up of three people, and there will be like a hipster game crowd, because they're kind of just like, yeah, this is the cool thing, because, you know, they're making this really sweet new story, like Journey on PlayStation 3 was, I just feel like, had such a following, even though it was like, you know, it was like a 2-hour game, and it was created by one person, Genova Chen, and it's just like, I don't know, it's crazy. It's just so different from what we've been used to for 20 years, 25 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I spend more money on indie games than I do on AAA titles.
Oh, completely.
And I prefer it that way.
Well, because, like, indie games are probably the ones that I buy the most digitally, in terms, because I'll buy disc-based games for, you know, the Battlefield and Killzone and whatever, but in terms of, like, Telltale games, I buy that digitally. I'm not going to wait for it to become disc-based. Any of those, I mean, there's tons of indie games coming out for the new consoles, and I plan on buying them and downloading them rather than, I think they're only offered digitally in a lot of cases, but I am willing to pay that money and not get any, you know, not get any money back.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think we live in a good time, you know, where we have options. I think that's a good thing.
Completely. Well, I think that that brings us to well, thank you, that Chaffee. We'll talk to
Chaffee.
We'll talk to you on Twitter.
That Chaffee.
And we're gonna pick up a game on PlayStation 4 once you get one. So,
Chaffee. This Chaffee.
This Chaffee, that Chaffee. Everybody Chaffee.
You get a Chaffee! You get a Chaffee! Everybody gets a Chaffee!
Anyways, his question brings us into our top five for the week, and that's games that we get fanboy over, or games that only fanboys love. And sure, we kind of connected all of them. So, number one, I think Charles should take, and that's the Zelda franchise.
So fanboy over here.
Well, I was talking about Nintendo and how the game that really drives me to get a new Nintendo system is Zelda. That's why I got my Wii, so I could play, was it Twilight Princess or whatever? That was the one they came out with. And then it was Skyward Sword. And of course, I got Skyward Sword. So now I'm just waiting for the next Zelda game that will probably come out in 10 to 15 years. Because that seems like that's the life cycle of a Zelda.
There's supposed to be one on Wii U, right?
Is there?
Yeah, there is.
We'll just all chip our money and we can just buy one Wii U and just...
And mail it around the country. It'll be, we'll mail it to China like 3, so we can get a picture of the Wii U on the Great Wall.
The Wii U can probably fit in like an envelope anyways with bubble wraps. It's so small.
So yes, Zelda is the game that drives me... And I love it. And I was talking about how I was telling Nick earlier is that if any developer or any like partner with Nintendo decided to do a revamp on Nintendo where Link, instead of having the sword, would had dual pistols and made it like an indie punk game, I would freak out and be like, "Fuck you, Nintendo! What the hell are you trying to do to me? I'm done with you." End. So, harsh. On that period, on that thought, two games that are Zelda games that only fanboys could love are Zelda 2 because of its ridiculous nonsense, which we've discussed in earlier podcasts, and Majora's Mask, which I love. I love that game because of all the ridiculous masks, but as a Zelda game, it was kind of like, huh? What is this game? Why am I playing it?
Especially as just as a sequel to Ocarina of Time. Yeah. That's really, yep. I think, in context. Yeah.
So that's it.
Wasn't necessarily not good, but sure.
Doodly doodly doo.
Yeah, that's a hard act to follow.
Yeah.
They had good music. The moon's looking down at you. The moon's looking down with the big eyes, and you're just like, God, I only have 3 days! 3 days!
Yeah.
Okay, that's done for me.
Steve, you want to take number two?
Sure, okay.
More Call of Duty.
Yeah, this might be... We might be jumping the gun on this, but... So the Call of Duty franchise. And, yeah, pretty much the Call of Duty franchise. I mean, we have Call of Duty Ghost on our list, but I really think I could make the case that Modern Warfare 3 and just all the sequels are... They're... I'm not saying they're not worth it and they're not good, but they're like, I mean, you gotta just, like, if you think they're good, you have to be a fanboy. Let's just say that. And, yeah. Yep. I mean,
you money can't just like them and like to
the
play
money,
them.
So.
No! No. Fanboy!
No. Never. You're a fanboy.
Alright.
I ain't no fanboy.
Goddamn fanboy.
I ain't no fanboy! You're a fanboy!
Tim, do you want to take number three?
Yeah, alright, our next one on this list is Warcraft, and I think Warcraft, I mean, just as a universe, it's huge, there's so much to it, you know, as originally as an RTS, and now as an MMO, it's just this huge game that has a huge following, huge universe, you know, it spawned books and, you know, all this, like, fan fiction and stuff like that, so, I mean, it's huge, there's, you know, millions and millions of people who play it, but I think...
you know, our game on here that only fanboys can love is Mists of Pandaria, and I think that everyone can agree with that. I remember when it got announced. Actually, I remember when it was when I could pre-order.
April Fool's joke.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Initially, yeah. Yeah, I remember when it was up for pre-order, and I went online, and I was like, am I really going to do this? Because I remember railing against, like, fucking pandas. I don't want to play this game.
Yeah.
You know, at this point, I wasn't subscribing, and I was like, I'm never playing. This is it. I'm done. And I was like, God damn it. Why are you making me do this, Blizzard? And here it is today.
The Mists of Pandaria.
Does someone want to take number four? I don't...
I'll take it. Yeah, because this is an amazing game, Perfect Dark.
Yeah.
It was a spiritual successor to GoldenEye, so that's why I played it.
I loved it.
And that was on N64.
Cluster bombs, because you could make everyone freak out. It was a great game.
So, no, the best was the gun. I forget what it was called.
The gun,
the gun
was
that could shoot through walls.
Oh, yeah, I know what gun you're talking about.
The Far something like that. I just remember trolling like crazy with that. It was like, as soon as you got that gun, it was game over, you know?
You just crouch in one spot and you can zoom to any point on the map as far in and as far out as you want, and you can just hone in on that.
Yeah, you could shoot people through walls. You could see them walking around and shoot them. Like, how is this even fair at all?
So what, is Perfect Dark Zero really bad?
Perfect Dark Zero was the game that they came out on GameCube where they were boasting about how you could play with 64 people and nobody, nobody bought it and nobody played it. It just was a flop. So, if anyone's out there playing Perfect Dark Zero, let us know, because that's interesting. Why would you be playing that game?
There's probably, like, a village, like, in, like, you know, Siberia that's playing this game.
No,
you know?
It's a country in Africa. They dumped all the game cartridges. Like, they dumped the t-shirts after the Super Bowl. They just dumped all the Perfect Dark Zero. And all the GameCubes,
like...
once they came out with the Wii.
There's just, like, a village where there's, like, game cubes, like, being stacked up to hold tables and shit, like...
Yes.
Alright, Steve, number five, do you want to take that one?
I never played Duke Nukem Forever, so that's how bad it was.
I think the entire Duke Nukem series requires you to be a fanboy, because...
It's not good.
It was not good. It was just a Doom ripoff.
Dude, no, the original Duke Nukem, man, that game was,
yeah,
legit.
It was good. Yeah, I played the shit out of it.
Yeah, me too. I was like, I was all over that shit. I used to make my own levels and shit. It was insane. Don't even get me going on Duke Nukem.
Okay.
Dude, well, the second one, or not the second one, but I don't know if it was the second one.
Duke all Nukem, the sequels.
Yeah, Duke Nukem Forever in particular, though, because it was in development for like 10 years. And then it totally shit the bed, got terrible reviews, yet people still said they loved it. And all I remember about this game, I never played it, but was at PAX, and there was a throne, and there was like two bikinied girls there, and that's all I remember. Duke Nukem. Forever.
And they're still trying to release shit with this game, and no one cares.
They probably have like a backlog of stuff that they're just like, we just need to offload this stuff.
Right.
Yeah, baby. Well,
we're basically out of time, but we are actually out of time, but we're just gonna quickly go through what we're playing now. Rapid fire. I'm starting something new because I finished Darksiders and I finished Hotline Miami, so PS4 comes in 6 days, 7 days.
Nice.
Boom.
What's happening?
Tim.
I'm regretfully playing Call of Duty, and I probably will be for a while. I'm just getting angrier and angrier.
Yep.
And if I'm dead or I kill someone, you guys know why.
Yep.
Steve.
Same here, Call of Duty Ghost, just going ham on it.
Ham! I am playing Hitman Absolution. I have been torn between rage and happiness when I'm playing this game, because it's I enjoy the stealth, but I get really pissed off when even the slightest thing goes wrong, so stay away from me! I'll probably start playing Call of Duty Ghost if it's determined that it meets the value criteria. I don't know.
Some sort of matrix that you go by, Charles?
Yes, point system. right now it has a 39.1284.
You should have your own Metacritic score. Charles Matrix decision.
Dude, I would buy every game on that list if that was a real thing.
It's like, violence is weighted, like, ridiculously high. It's a guarantee. It's like, whatever, like, out of five, whatever violence score it got, times that number by four.
Stealth and violence equals a higher degree of qualification. Well, there's subcategories to violence.
Okay!
It's not just violence, it's stealth violence, like, decapitation violence. Beating violence. Can I attack him with a syringe violence?
I think like Charles, so it's like a 100-point system and like 40 of the points are out of like violence and then everything else.
Yeah. Shadows.
You can do that. Shadow. Rendering, graphics, gameplay, music.
Alright.
Alright, that's how we're gonna rate games from now on.
Got it.
Alright, that brings us to the end of our podcast. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, that Chaffee, for your question this week. Chaffee. Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Charles. This is Late Night Gamers, episode 11.
Yep.
And
11 more, we'll have 22.
So, bye. See ya.
Oh boy, did my computer just freeze again? What the fuck is happening?
Charles is dead. Charles been sucked into Google.
Why is Charles like rubbing his eyes permanently right now? Is he asleep? Charles saw Medusa and then
my computer is like freaked out several times.
Uh oh. Why are there two Steves?
Did I lose everybody?
He must
Dude, I friggin' split, I multiplied.